Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Big news in Milwaukee Bucks land. Giannis Antetokounmpo, not only named to his first All-Star game appearance, he has been named as a NBA All-Star starter this year. So the voting process is done, and Giannis Antetokounmpo will be starting for the Eastern Conference in the NBA. And I know this is the Packers show, but I wanted to kind of lead off with that because, to me, Troy, this is huge. And maybe I'm overdoing it on how big this is, but for a player like Giannis, who's still developing, he's going to spend an entire weekend, Troy, playing with the best of the best in the NBA. And last year, after he had a sit-down meeting with Kobe Bryant that was arranged by Jason Kidd, after he had that sit-down meeting, he started getting triple-double after triple-double. So I'm just thinking of what Giannis could learn during All-Star weekend from the best of the best in the NBA. I'm just super excited because I think this could be pushes Giannis over the top as a superstar. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating how big this is, but, you know, I'm super excited for him. And, you know, Giannis doesn't just seem like he isn't just a good basketball player. He seems like a genuine good guy. You know, he seems like a good guy. So that, I just had to throw that out there. I know this is Packer talk, but I just had to get that out there for those that may not have heard yet. Giannis Antetokounmpo will be starting in the All-Star game next month. So before we do get into Packers, which, you know, we're going to be talking Packers and the injury report itself might take the entire show, I'm going to throw it to you, Troy, how are things going out in Western PA today?
I'll tell you, I'm ready for this half hour, Evan. I need to talk Packers. All I'm hearing is Steelers, Patriots. It's time to talk Packers. And it's okay. You know, I was talking today to somebody at work, and I'm like, look, I get the best of both worlds. I'm an NFL fan, so I watch playoff football no matter what. But I do live in Western PA. I do follow the Steelers. I talk about the Steelers. I cheer for the Steelers, except when they play the Packers. So, yeah, I'm going to be cheering for the Steelers. I hope they take down the Patriots. Doesn't mean they're going to. We talked about it last night. So, you know, on Sunday I get to watch the Green Bay Packers, and hopefully they don't disappoint. And then I can watch another game where I actually have some vested interest. So what a lucky fan I get to be this weekend with, you know, a team I grew up with that is 100% my loyalty. And number two, then I can cheer for a team where I've lived for 10 years and I like the Steelers and would love to see a Packers-Steeler rematch. But, Evan, I know, again, it's Packer talk, but I heard this again today. And I don't even want to say it irks me anymore. I want to say I just laugh now. I've lived out here for 10 years, and people that listen to this show know I'm from Green Bay. I'm a diehard Packer fan. I always will be. I'm loyal to my Green Bay Packers. So, Evan, I'm talking today, and I get the boo, you're a Packer fan. You live in Steeler country. You have to be a Steelers fan, okay? So I come back with, all right, so just because I've moved, I have to cheer for the team that's in the geographical area I live. So, therefore, if this job brought you to Boston, you would have to be a Patriot fan. The answer I get, Evan, was, hell no, I wouldn't be. And so I answer, so what's the difference? Does that make any sense, Evan, what I'm saying? It was just kind of one of those things like, why are you forcing me to be a Steeler fan because I live here when you wouldn't do it? It's kind of hypocritical in my book. What are your quick thoughts on that comment?
Yeah, it's making sense. You know, if I moved to, let's say, Oklahoma or Texas, I wouldn't become a Dallas Cowboys fan or a Houston Texans fan. Now, I do enjoy the Houston Texans. know, J.J. Watt being there is a big reason why. But I wouldn't become a diehard Houston Texans fan just because I moved to Texas or Oklahoma or a Cowboy fan. So, you know, for a Steeler fan, and I wouldn't expect a Steeler fan if they moved to Wisconsin to become a Packer fan. I wouldn't expect it. So, it you know, it's not crazy at all. So, it's crazy that they think you should be a Steeler fan because you live out in Pittsburgh. So,
exactly.
But anyways,
let's get into it.
Yeah, we do have a big game to talk about where the winner is going to an even bigger game in Houston. However, just a couple of things to discuss before I get into the game. The Packers injury report seems to be growing and growing and growing by the day. So we already knew Jordy Nelson's on the injury report, and if Jordy Nelson plays, I'll be shocked. To me, Jordy Nelson's not playing. I just don't see any way possible that Jordy Nelson plays with the fractured ribs. There's no way at all. Morgan Burnett's on the injury report with a quad injury. That could be pretty harmful for the Packers' defense, as he could be needed for this game. Flip back to the offensive side of the ball. You have Jeff Janis, who is being bothered by a deep thigh bruise, which, to be perfectly honest, and maybe it's an exaggeration, I would have the same confidence level if they put J.C. Treader out at wide receiver than I would with Jeff Janis at wide receiver, to be perfectly honest. That's just my two cents. But also on the injury report, Geronimo Allison with the hamstring injury, and we all know how hamstrings are. They can be very iffy. He could be fine tomorrow, and then Sunday he goes to run, and then boom, it gives out on him. And Devontae Adams being slowed by an ankle injury. He hurt his ankle on that final drive in the Cowboy game. Came back in, but he hurt his ankle, which that could be a big issue for Green Bay if he's not able to go or if he's not at 100%. So the Packer wide receivers on Sunday, Troy, could be Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, Trevor Davis, and Jared Cook. That could be the Packers' offensive weapons on Sunday. I know Ty Montgomery's a more of a running back, but if Geronimo Allison and Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson, if all of them can't go, they're going to probably have to put Ty Montgomery back at wide receiver and run him out of that position. They're probably going to have to because you're going to need help with Randall Cobb, and you can't depend on Trevor Davis to give him that help. Trevor Davis, speedster, a lot of potential, high ceiling, but he's not ready for that stage. So Devontae Adams, I expect him to play, but the ankle injury does worry me for the fact that he was slowed and bothered by an ankle injury last year when everyone wanted him cut. What they didn't realize, he was bothered by an ankle injury too and being asked to play a role he wasn't ready for. So the Packers do have other people on the injury report too, but I just pretty much gave the big names on. And beginning of the week, Monday, Tuesday, I'm sitting at about a 70% confidence level in Green Bay. It's down to about a 40% confidence level. You know, you have a game that has a very high-powered offense in Atlanta, which Atlanta could be without Julio Jones. He's bothered by turf toe, and turf toe is one of those things you don't really know what's going to – you know, you don't really know. He may have a hard time cutting, might have a hard time running routes, and that could affect his availability. I know he didn't practice today, but from what I heard, he was limping quite a bit after a workout. So we'll see what that looks like as we – move later into the week. Same with Devontae Adams and Geronimo, how they look later in the week. But the Packers could be in a lot of trouble. They could truly be into a lot of trouble. If the Packers are at full strength with Adams and Geronimo playing and Morgan Burnett playing, I give the Packers a very good shot to win. The Falcons are without Claiborne, their big defensive end who sacked Rodgers twice the last time these two teams met. They're without Claiborne. And with Julio Jones' turf toe injury, I give the Packers a huge fighter's chance with the people I mentioned being hurt playing. If they play and they're able to be big contributors, I give the Packers a very big shot to win this game. And I think they definitely could could win this game. However, though, if Adams is slowed up or can't go or is ineffective and they got to rely on Trevor Davis and they hobble Jeff Janis and Randall Cobb, I think the Packers are in a lot of trouble. They're going to have to score points. The defense of Green Bay will not stop Atlanta's offense. Atlanta will put points on the board. They may force them to field goals, but overall, they will not stop Atlanta. Atlanta will basically be able, for the most part, do what they want to do offensively. I'm going to say that right now. It might be an unpopular opinion, Troy, but they will do what they want to do offensively. It's the Packers' job to force them to field goals and keep them out of that end zone on defense. And the Packers' offense needs to score touchdowns. They need to score a lot of touchdowns. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Any way you look at it, it will be high-scoring. And the X factor in this game, to me, Troy, are two guys that tend to lately disappear. The birthday boy, I believe yesterday, Julius Peppers celebrated his 37th birthday. They can't afford for him to play like a 37-year-old. Morning show here in Milwaukee was joking around that he's 37, but he looks like he's about 10 years younger. He's got to play like the 27-year-old Julius Peppers. He's got to be active. He's got to be all over the field. If he wants to get the opportunity to play for a Super Bowl ring, he's got to leave it all on the field this week. He gets a week off. He needs to leave it all on the field. And the other one's Clay Matthews. Clay Matthews, last time these two teams played, did not play. He was out, I think, with the hamstring. And he's got to leave it all on the line, too. He's got to go all out. And they got to get pressure on Matt Ryan. The only way you're going to make stops in key situations is get pressure on Matt Ryan. Get him off his spot. Force him to throw bad passes. Sack him. Force interceptions. That's what they got to do. That's how they're going to slow down Atlanta's offense. Pressure, 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 pressure. Matt Ryan's a one-dimensional quarterback. You don't have to worry about him scrambling like he did Prescott. But you've got to screw up his timing. Atlanta's passing offense, Troy, is all about timing. Get the ball to spot at a certain time. You disrupt that, Matt Ryan's going to crumble. He's going to crumble. You hit him a few times, he's going to start feeling the pressure, he's going to start crumbling. Those two guys need to play huge. And I think Micah Hyde is another guy. He's had a couple big games as of late. He's got to continue to have big games. But this is going to be, it's a very winnable game for Green Bay. But it's going to be a very tough game for Green Bay. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. You know, there could be another name added to the injury list by the time we're done with this show in 17 minutes. It's unbelievable the names that are popping up. And it's, like you said, you look at it and, yeah, they've battled through injuries all year, next man up, all this stuff. But, heck, this is for all the marbles. This is for the NFC Championship. And when you're missing key components, it can really hurt you in a one-and-done situation. And the worst part is, okay, even if they play, are they going to be able to contribute at a high level? Running back Ty Montgomery, ankle. It's probably one. I mean, any lower body injury for a running back is not good.
Well,
I think Michael
is healthy.
I thought he had an ankle injury.
No, that's Davante Adams.
Oh, Davante Adams. So,
yeah.
If Ty Montgomery has to play receiver, I thought Michael earned carries from game number one against the Giants. So I'm okay there because I like the way that he ran hard and straight. And I think you can run hard and straight against the Atlanta defense. So I wouldn't be – I mean, to me, I'm not like all of a sudden like, oh, my God, Ty Montgomery's not a running back today and Michael has to run the ball 10 to 15 times like Montgomery did. Now, it's a different type of running. Believe me, I'd love to see Ty Montgomery be back there all the time. But if Adams can't go, Nelson can't go, and you have to put Ty Montgomery out there, I'm not completely going to bury my head in my knees and say, oh, my, we are doomed. I like the way that Michael ran, apparently there was, you know, the flow of the game and the game plan. He didn't get in, didn't get any carries against Dallas. But I liked what I saw against New York. And hopefully the reason he didn't get carries is due to the facts of the game plan and not him being a bonehead in practice. I don't know. But I like that little weapon there. I think he could do some things should they be forced to put Montgomery outside. The other thing, Evan, for offense is scoring. They can't stumble like they did against Dallas. They built the lead, and I don't think they're going to get out to a 28-10 lead against Atlanta. Could they score 28 points in the first half against Atlanta? Sure. But I think Atlanta can score 28 against us in the first half. If the Packers stumble for one quarter where they can't move the chains, we're in trouble. We've literally got to get in, just match Atlanta point for point. I looked on paper. I've tried to figure out how do you stop this Atlanta Falcon offense, and you don't stop them. That nobody has really stopped them all year. They've got Coleman and Freeman in the backfield. We know our run defense at times has been horrific. Teams can run against the Green Bay Packers. Then, you know, even if Julio Jones doesn't play, you got Sanu and Gabriel. I like Gabriel. I think he's a good young receiver. Then you got Matt Ryan playing at an all-pro level. The only place where I see the Packers where they could have an advantage is getting pressure. And I'm not even saying that's a given, but they have to pressure Matt Ryan. So the outcome of this game, Evan, if Matt Ryan is comfortable in the pocket, I don't see the Packers having a chance to win. If they establish their run game and the play action, and Matt Ryan's comfortable and there's no pressure, and they're playing with a lead, I don't see him coming back against Atlanta. The Packers basically have to jump out quick. They have to score points. They got to continue to score points. Basically one of those games where they have to get the game to be who has the ball last, and hopefully it's Aaron Rodgers. Because this is a very good Atlanta team offensively. Now defensively, the Packers should be able to move the ball, but like we just said, so many injuries on offense that could it become ineffective for a little bit? Yeah, it certainly could. The Allison injury to me is huge, Evan, because I thought this kid was playing well. I know that Aaron Rodgers had a little spat with him in the Dallas game, but Rodgers has no problem targeting Allison, and he hasn't over the past couple of weeks. And that's a hamstring injury. That's one of those that is so sensitive. It can feel good, but it's really not 100%. You make one burst and boom, you're done again. So how effective will he be and how bad is that hamstring injury? I've had hamstring injuries before, and it hurts. It's an injury, and especially when you have to have that burst of speed to plant and go, you can't have 100% confidence in that hamstring if it's sore, if it's tweaked, if it's pulled, whatever it is. And to me, that's a huge injury because even with Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson, the two big guns, now you pretty much have taken away Allison, who had become a weapon, and now you're just sitting there with Randall Cobb. So it could be a problem offensively when you're looking at receivers. But I think they can move the ball, and they have some options. Like I said, I really like the way Michael ran. So I wouldn't be totally like, oh, my God, we're done if we had to run Michael 10 to 12 times because I thought he ran well. But, again, I want Montgomery in the backfield. I don't want him playing wide receiver. We'll see what happens over the next 2 days, Evan, how these injuries pan out.
Yeah, definitely. And the Packers are definitely potentially going to be undermanned. And I think Christian Michael could potentially get a lot of touches. Because here's the thing. If Davante Adams and Geronimo Allison are unable to go or limited in any way, or they have a flare-up and they got to leave the game, then they're going to, like I was saying before, they're going to have to use Ty Montgomery at wide receiver, because Trevor Davis and Randall Cobb are not going to get it done. They're just not. So you're going to have to have Ty Montgomery run some routes at wide receiver and have Michael be potentially the primary back. I think they're going to have to do that. And I think that could be okay. However, it does take away some of the stuff the Packers want to do offensively. But we'll see what happens. And, you know, people got to remember, and I know this was weeks ago and this is now, but the last time these two teams met, there was no Clay Matthews, no Demarius Randle, if I'm not mistaken. Quentin Rollins, I believe. You know, those guys didn't play. And the Packers are undermanned, and they gave the Falcons all that Falcons could handle. And they lost basically due to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, and people are going to point to Jake Ryan, but it was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix not doing his job. That's why they lost to Atlanta. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix left the middle zone where he was supposed to be covering and left Jake Ryan one-on-one coverage on, I believe it was Sanu. Looked like he was running the drag route. Clinton Dix veered off towards Julio Jones, and Sanu quickly did a run into the end zone and caught the game-winning touchdown. That's why Green Bay lost. Clinton Dix didn't do his job. For the Packers to win, everybody is going to have to do their job. Everyone. They're going to have to do their job. They cannot do the freelancing that I'm talking about that Clinton Dix did. He you know, saw Julio Jones and went there instead of staying in his own. There's been a couple of touchdowns that Demarius Randle has been burned on that Demarius Randle gets all the blame, but you watch the film, he was expecting safety help. The Falcons will eat Green Bay alive if Clinton Dix or Morgan Burnett or whoever is back there playing safety, if they get out of position, Matt Ryan will make them pay. But the key to all that, get pressure on him. Get pressure on Matt Ryan. Force him to be uncomfortable. The pressure on Matt Ryan will potentially force turnovers. And again, it all comes down to Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews. They have to have the game of their life. That's going to make every level of the defense that much better. So when I look at this, like I said, I was about 70% confident level, 80% confident level on Monday and Tuesday. But now I'm down to about, I would say, 40% confident level. If the Packers, you know, if the Packers win this game, I think they're going to have to score in the upper 30s, if not in the 40s. I think they will win this game. I just have a hard time right now betting against Aaron Rodgers. I think they will win this game, but it's going to be very, very tough. If Green Bay wins this game, it's going to be probably 43-38, something like that type game. So yeah, that's what I have about the game.
Well, you now know that you said 43-38, so it's going to be like a 13-10 final score. You know that'll happen now. I don't see that happening. But these two offenses, Evan, I think are just going to get into an up and down pace. And I know that I just talked about the Packers being able to match the Falcons point for point, but I think they've got to do it methodically. And if you think back to during this winning streak, Evan, when they were on the tear and they got the offense back on track and they were taking what the defenses gave them, the short passes, the 6-7 yard outs, those type passes and those 10 to 12 play drives, I think if they can do those things, be effective, put together scoring drives, touchdown drives, but also eat up large chunks of clock, I think that could be a recipe for success against the Falcons. Now, we know the Packers can score quickly. We know that. They can move the ball up and down the field. But they always say the best defense is to keep the other team's best player on the sideline. And I just, you know, our defense, Evan, it is what it is. They're going to give up points. If you're a Packer fan, Evan, and you think we're going to go to Atlanta, we're going to shut down Matt Ryan, and we're going to shut out the Falcons, you're crazy. Yeah, I'd like to know exactly where you're getting your optimism, because I'd love that fountain. I'd love to take a sip of that. They're going to score points. Like you said, the Falcons can drop 30 with their eyes closed. But I think the best way to try and reduce the score is to be effective, score touchdowns with long time consuming drives. And, you know, wear that defense out. Just wear them out throughout the course of the game, which will go to my point, should the Packers get the ball last, if you've had 3, 4, 7, 8, 9 minute drives, which are very long drives, but they can do it. The Packers have put together drives like that. You can wear that defense out, and it gives you an advantage at the end of the game. And I'd like to see that happen. The problem is, goes back to what you and I said earlier in the show, is if they're depleted with their weapons, it's hard to do that. I shouldn't say I have no confidence in Trevor Davis, like you said, Evan. It's just he's unproven. Right? He's a guy that hasn't been in the limelight. He hasn't been the go-to guy. He's been that guy that, hey, I'm going to get in for a few plays. I don't know how much he knows the playbook. I don't know what kind of plays that he can be involved in. I don't think he has the whole playbook at his fingertips. There's where the limitations come in. So that's why I'm saying if that's to move the chains, but if they don't have the weapons, it's going to be hard to do that. I think they're going to win too, Evan. I really do. This defense, you know, I just talked about, hey, the Falcons are going to score, but I also think this is a very tenacious defense that can get to Matt Ryan a time or two and force one or two turnovers. And if they can do that and capitalize on those turnovers with points, there's the cushion. Because this really, you could see the seesaw game going back and forth. Packers score, Falcons score, Packers score, Falcons score, Falcons score, Packers score, Packers score. And next thing we know, like you said, Evan, we're looking at a 42-35 game with 42 seconds to go in the game or whatever it may be. So it's going to be a good, I think it's going to be an exciting game. I think the Packers pull it out somewhere in the range, like you said, 30s, 40s. I really think this could come down to another Mason Crosby field goal at the end.
Yeah, it would be definitely interesting and fun if it does. You know, Crosby gets another shot to pick the game-winning field goal to send them to the big game. And they get to play Crosby gets to send them to his home state of Texas. So that's all I have. Like I said, I think Green Bay wins. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I just can't bet against Aaron Rodgers right now. He's just on another planet. So that's basically where my optimism is coming from. Rodgers is on a completely different planet right now. So, you know, I'm going to throw it back to you. You know, I got nothing else to add, and maybe you can let our listeners go.
Yeah, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball to himself and then just be running back too. You know, the way the injury report is. Kind of like one of those little video games where you get to make your players just get a clone. We'll clone Rodgers, put him at receiver, see how that works out. Maybe clone him, put him at running back, and, you know, that'll work out that way. But we're going to give everybody a break, Evan, until Monday. Hopefully on Monday we are in a celebratory mood. Either way, we're going to recap the Packer-Falcon game. Then next Tuesday we'll recap the Patriots-Steeler game. And then, you know, we got a lot of days where we get to talk about Super Bowl things, especially if it's the Packers. And hopefully we're talking after this week about Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. But with that said, for Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Enjoy your night, everyone.